Hi, and welcome back to New Every Day. My name's Carrie.
And my name's Jen. And on today's show, we're going to talk about what is it that'll make you believe? So stay tuned.
neweveryday.tv to see the newest posting, to check out our partners page. Just click partners, the link at the top of the page. You can see all the wonderful people we have supporting us and the wonderful organizations. So check them out, our partners page at neweveryday.tv. And how are you?
Not bad. It's the end of the day. We went exploring today. We don't do it very often because you're going to start thinking, wow, those girls travel a lot. And
well, kind of
relatively, yes, but you only see the traveling.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of days in between when we're not traveling. But today we actually had a day where it's like, oh, we're both home, why don't we go to the Y Marsh? And so today we went to this place called the Y Marsh
Conservation Center.
Yes. For the purpose
in Midland, Ontario.
Yes, for the purpose of walking through the snowshoeing and holding chickadees in our hands. And that was the real purpose of going. It's about 45 minutes away from where we live.
Yeah.
And we just simply said we want to be outside, we want to go snowshoeing, but ultimately we want to hold chickadees in our hands.
Oh yeah. Every winter my family and I made a point of going there so we could either cross country ski and feed them, hike and feed them, snowshoe and feed them. There's just something so beautiful about holding this little creature in your hand, and it just trusts you and comes and sits, and you feel it's so cute and just want to hold it. Jen might not have felt like doing that, but anyways, they land and then they take the food and they flutter away, and you can hear their wings, and then you can hear them tapping the seeds to open them up, and it's just so beautiful. And every time I go, my heart is so full holding these birds because I feel like it's just such a wonderful picture of trust that the chickadees will come to us. We're so much bigger than them. I could just go like that and catch it and herd it. I would never do that. I never understood that when the little boys would, you know, hurt the toads or, I just hated that. Anyways, it's such a beautiful picture of trust and provision at the same time.
Knowing that she's thought about that and doesn't do it makes me happy.
See?
I'm not going to squeeze this sweet little thing.
For real. All right.
Yes.
Did you enjoy it?
I totally enjoyed it. I do. I love the fact that you put these seeds in the hand and the birds come and they have been around people enough that you're right. They do trust them. They trust the fact that those seeds are safe and that, you know, they can come and eat them and fly off and everything's good. And what we're talking about, the big question today is what is it that will make you believe?
Yeah.
Now, for those birds, they have, over time, been convinced that people are safe. That, like, they've never met us before, they've never seen us before, and yet, going through this one part of the hike, it's like one of the chickadees literally came and stood in front of us, like, almost like, to say,
put your hand out, I'm waiting.
Like, and we're like, did you not feel like the pressure?
Oh, yeah. Well, see, I think it was because you were doing your chickadee call.
Chickadee dee 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 dee. But I hadn't actually said it yet. Like, we got to that point and they looked and I'm like, oh. And both of us were like, whoop.
We know what to do and they knew it.
So over time, the trust had been built up. People are safe. If I look at them or if they call to me and right? It's that whole conditioned response.
Yeah.
But they believe that people are safe and that we'll feed them. And so when we talk about what is it that would make you believe, the question is, what is it that would make you believe in God?
Yeah.
And we're asking that question because we're heading into Easter. And so in the book of John, the Passion Week starts about John 12 with the triumphant entry. And as we were reading beforehand and preparing, Carrie came across an interesting part of the passage. So I just want to ask her to read it.
Yeah, it's in John 12, and it's actually verse 37. And the context to this verse is that Jesus beforehand in the previous chapter, chapter 11, had just raised Lazarus from the dead, like performed this amazing miracle. And people were coming from far and wide, and Pharisees were also coming to not only see Jesus, but to look at Lazarus, the one who had been raised from the dead, to see, like, is this for real? Did this actually happen? They wanted to see, interact with them. And the interesting verse is verse 37, but although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? So even though he had done this amazing miracle, they still didn't believe. And sometimes, you know, I think, well, what's going to be the tipping point for people that they're going to say, you know what, there is a God, or Jesus really is the Son of God, you know, or maybe they need some kind of miracle in their life. Maybe they need to be healed of something. Maybe they need to see it written across the sky. But what is more dramatic than seeing someone raised from the dead? We were also talking earlier about how, like, people who, they receive some kind of radical medical intervention and kind of get a new lease on life, how their perspective is totally different, totally changed. Like, I've got a second chance. And they often realize, yeah, God has given this to me. It's God who's done this. But even though these people saw him raised from the dead, it still was not enough to believe. And we were talking today as how I was holding the chickadees, and it makes me think of the verse that says, you open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. And God provides miraculously for each ecosystem in the world. So you look at diversity in the ocean and how there's plankton and something that eats plankton, and you look at how some things are just so diverse, and yet God is taking care of the individual needs, and he feeds each one, and it's so amazing. And the privilege that we had to feed these creatures, and the joy that I got of holding them, that I think God loves to provide for us. He loves to open his hand and satisfy our desires and our needs. And that, for me, seeing how God provides, seeing biodiversity, seeing the complexity of nature and how it all works together in this fine-tuned machine, was a stepping stone in building my faith in Christ, in God. What was there something in your life, Jen, that made you, I know that you came to Christ when you were quite young, but was there, or have there been points along the way where you're like, yeah, that just reaffirmed my faith, or yeah, that was a real checkpoint in my life?
It's a great question. Usually it's a daily thing. Like, it's a daily, wow, God, like, you answered that prayer. Wow, you answered that prayer. Okay, you answered that prayer again. And so for me, that, you know, what is it going to take you to believe? It's more of an ongoing, okay, you are real. Okay, you are real. Okay, you did hear me. And so, you know, when you read this passage, and what is it, you know, what is it that's going to take it, take you to a point where you choose to believe? I think sometimes some of the arguments that I have heard is, well, if I choose to believe, then that means I have to give up everything. And so it's much easier to discount truth than choose to live it. And, you know,
because it asks something of you.
Because it asks something of it. And I often think of Rabbi Zacharias and how he goes up, against all the different, I want to say, leading atheists of the world, right? Who are anti-God, and, you know, they're trying to disprove the existence of God, and Ravi is proving the existence of God. And I'm listening, and the truth just sounds so clear, but that's might be because I believe the truth.
So it seems clear to you.
So it seems clear to me. And on the other side, to prove that God doesn't exist, just, I'm like, really? So when you look at the world, and that's what Romans says, right? It says his, well, let me just turn to it. It's Romans 1, 20 or something like that.
Okay. I'm going to use my techie Bible.
My pages are sticking together. Because it says, Romans 1:19, since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse.
So creation should testify that there is a God.
Yeah.
And Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal God's knowledge. We can see it all around us.
Yeah. And so, you know, I do believe that God exists by looking at nature, but also through personal experience. I've seen answers to prayer that were not coincidental.
Okay.
I have, you know...
Like physical answers to prayer, you mean?
What do you mean by like, physical? Like in my body physical or like...
Like, well, I guess I was going to say not like an emotional thing.
Right.
Like God's provision for you.
When have I seen answers to prayer? Well, we'll let you know when we come back. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Robbie Ferguson, and I love being a Vimeo Pro member. As a web broadcaster, I need an affordable video hosting platform that's as flexible as me. A Pro membership lets you upload up to 20 gigabytes of HD video each and every week with no additional bandwidth restrictions. That means if you produce a show that uses even up to 20 gigabytes of storage, your limit resets itself the following week, so you can do another 20 gigabytes. And keep doing that week after week. Now, Category 5, with all of our shows, use roughly 10 gigabytes per week. From there, Vimeo automatically generates all the files that you need to provision your RSS feeds, Roku channel, website media player, or even video downloads in multiple bit rates, with no limits on your bandwidth usage or how many people can access your files. What's best? The price is astonishingly affordable. And for a limited time, friends of the Category5.tv network will receive a whopping 25% off the annual price. All you have to do is go through our link, cat5.tv/Vimeo, and sign up today for your 25% discount. To top it off, you get 30 days to try it risk-free. If you're not happy with Vimeo Pro, you pay nothing. The deal is only for a very limited time. Go to cat5.tv/Vimeo.
Welcome back to New Every Day. Jen, you were just about to share a story of how God had provided for you, and that was kind of an affirmation again of your faith in him.
No, I wasn't.
No, you weren't?
No, I was going to say how he answered prayer.
Yeah.
Not how he provided.
Rewind.
I was like... That was the previous conversation, but no, this one was about answered prayer. I'm like, I don't think I can work that one around.
You're pretty skilled with words, but that's a long shot.
Let's try that again.
Jen, before we took that break, you were just about to say how God answers prayer.
Right, how I know that God has answered prayer.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because it usually comes about when people, where I've prayed for someone, and then... they will message me or tell me face to face, Jen, you prayed for me and this happened.
Oh, yeah. So it's through someone else.
Oh, yeah. And it's happened enough now where I go, And it sort of gets, and that reminds me that God, A, hears my prayers.
Yeah.
Because it isn't the same person coming and telling me all the time. It's different people in different areas of my life who have said, you prayed for me and this happened. And I was like, wow, he does hear me. Wow, he does answer prayer. Now, there have also been times where I've had difficult conversations to have, and I'm just like, dear Lord, please help me. And then, wow, he goes before, he prepares the way.
Yeah.
And I come out going, wow, God.
That went surprisingly well.
You were good. And now a friend of mine, Susan Zerf, says to me all the time, she's like, Jen, you just pray your way out of everything. But that's because I actually honestly believe that someone's on the other end of my prayers. Right. Like someone is on the other end of my prayers listening. So when we talk about what is it going to take for you to believe, I've had enough experience. I guess for me now it's experience where God has said, see, I did it again. See, I did it again. See, I did it again. And so I've also seen like life change in people.
Okay.
And I know you've seen life change in people where you just go, okay.
Yeah, you wouldn't have done that on your own.
No.
Or that response you just gave was not yourself. It's because of a transformed life in Christ.
Yeah.
And I even find that about myself.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, God, like you let me say that. You let me not say that, more importantly.
Right.
You know?
Which goes to actually reaffirm why we believe. Right? Like it's like we originally believed because, well, I was raised in the church, but it just all started to make sense and I was having my own experiences with God. And so, but you came to faith differently, but also through experience and watching it happen and God working in your own life. And like,
yeah.
So we've had our experience and then we've had reaffirming experience to go, okay, this is why I believe.
Yeah.
This is why I believe. And yet, you know, the passage that we're looking at, the men are saying, Jesus is saying, they're not going to believe. Like even though
they saw this sign.
Yeah. Like even though he raised Lazarus from the dead,
it's not going to be enough for you.
Yeah. Now you wanted to share a passage of a parable that Jesus gave.
Yes. It is actually in Luke 16. And it starts verse 19. And it's called The Rich Man and Lazarus. This is a different Lazarus. But to paraphrase the story, there was a very rich man, and there was a beggar named Lazarus who was full of sores and laid at the gate of the rich man, like outside his big mansion, essentially. And the beggar was desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And the dogs came and licked his sores. So one day the beggar died. So Lazarus died, and he was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And the rich man goes to Hades, like a hell type place, right? And he was able to see Lazarus from where he was and saw that he was in peace, but that the rich man was in torment. And he says to Abraham, like, please send Lazarus to my brothers and my father so that they don't have to come to this place, that they can experience the peace of God. Like, I didn't turn as a, you know, I'm not going to add words to scripture, but anyways, essentially saying, please send this man.
Yeah.
Because if they see a guy who was raised from the dead, maybe they'll believe. Yeah, he says, no, Father Abraham, if one goes to them from the dead, then they will repent. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead. And when Jesus was speaking to the people, he said, one greater than Abraham is here. One greater than Moses is here. Mm-hmm. He said, you search the scriptures because you think that by them they obtain life. But these are the scriptures that testify about me. And he was talking about the Old Testament. Jesus is in the Old Testament. And in the book of Psalms, it says the word of God is perfect, reviving or converting the soul, essentially.
Right.
So there's something living and active about the word of God and the Old Testament that alludes to Christ and his saving power. And I think that God like can use scripture to transform you, and we should be able to see Christ in scripture. It's just so interesting that even Jesus said, listen, if people won't believe, even though they see someone rise from the dead, it won't be enough of a sign.
Yeah.
But God does the work in transforming people's hearts and drawing them to himself. And you said something interesting about how God draws people today.
Right. Well, it says it's kindness that draws us, right? And he loves us. He woos us. You even said he's the hound of heaven. He pursues us. And yet, unless someone makes that willful choice and accepts that love, then it's like, it doesn't matter what would happen. They're just simply not going to believe. They make a willful choice not to believe. And for me, that's one of the, like, literally, I don't know what to say about that. When people just make a willful choice not to believe, when the evidence is there,
yeah,
and they're like, no. Or, well, yeah, I can see where that's true, but I'm just not going to believe it. And it's like, but it's truth.
Yeah.
And I guess, no, I know I struggle with that because the truth is just so clear. Mm. And yet people continue to say no.
And I can understand the perspective, you know, of some of my friends who have gone through A, B, and C, or who've had a bad experience in church, and that's kind of like put a bad taste in their mouth for God, but he's been misrepresented by people who say that they knew him or say that they were acting on his behalf. So I get it where they're coming from, because our past history, our emotions, whatever, can kind of cloud our perspective, where, you know, even we might see someone who's risen from the dead and still not believe. But, you know, I think that faith is a gift of God, and God mm-hmm. draws us to himself. And salvation, even if it was when you were young or when you were older, that it's a miracle. And I just celebrate that in God. And I just look at, you know, some people in my own family that I thought, you know, they would never believe in God. They would never. They've had the worst history. They, you know,
yeah.
been through so much. And yet God in his grace has revealed himself to them. And I don't get it. I don't get it, because yeah. you can't earn it.
Yeah. And so when we ask the question, you know, what is it that would help, what is it that would make you believe? Maybe one of the questions is, well, what's holding you back from believing? And so we're going to sign off now because it's that time, but we want to leave you with that question. What is it that, you know, makes you believe, or what is it that made you believe?
Yeah.
And what is it that's tripping you up? Like, what is it, if you haven't made that commitment to Christ yet, what is it that's stopping you? And yet you've tuned into our show and you're listening, and we're very thankful for that. But we just pray right now that God's grace would just go before, touching your heart. And if you have a question, if you've been calling out to God, then we ask in the name of Jesus that he would just make himself real to you even now, and that your life would be changed and you would say, I believe. Mm-hmm. The Bible is very clear. It says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so we pray that for you today. We pray that you would confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you wouldn't be like these people who are willfully choosing not to believe that something actually did happen. So may you believe today.
We look forward to seeing you next week on neweveryday.tv. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Catch you later.